Everyone, and welcome back to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. We are heading into the holiday weeks here, lots of stuff going on. And if you missed the first hour, it was craziness, went by pretty darn fast. We had Craig Campbell from CoachellaValley.com. We talked about all sorts of things. We also gave away some vouchers for the Palm Springs International Film Festival. And if I remember, which sometimes I forget, we'll give some more away this hour of the show. All right. This week is brought to you in part by, actually, this show is brought to you in part by B. Elson's Jewelers, lower level at the Gardens on El Paseo. Perfect place to find those holiday gifts or just gifts in general. Of course, you can go to the website for everything that has to do with traveling with Francoise, including travel blog, television show, contest page, podcast, sponsors page. All the information you need is right there on that website. So please use it and enjoy it. And I don't know, you'll always find something new. I change it up every week, so there's always new things happening. As I said in the first hour of the show, I'm just kind of lazy this weekend, so I have two guests that I know will make the hours just fly by, and they're always interesting, and they're a lot of fun. We had Craig Campbell in the first hour, and in this hour, we have Lee Goodsell, who is with us in studio. Hey, Lee.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine. You look like you're ready to go traveling already again somewhere. You know, you're kind of...
I'm always ready to go traveling.
Yeah,
I think every day should be some kind of little adventure, even if you just drive a different route to and from work.
I totally agree with you. I have said that over and over and over. People constantly ask me, where's your next big adventure? And I think a big adventure could be just going to the Oasis Preserve or up the tram or just a hike in the mountain. I mean, anything's
a big
adventure.
I just drive down a new street I haven't been on and enjoy it.
Yes, our big adventure is when we still get lost in the desert.
In little adventures.
Yeah, because sometimes I will try to take a shortcut. And then I end up with, you know, we have a lot of streets here that don't go anywhere.
Oh, no. As I found on the way here, I was leaving Ace Hardware in Palm Desert, and there unfortunately was a little motorcycle accident at an intersection near there. So I took a right through North Palm Desert, and the streets are fascinating because the homes are all so different. And yes, like you said, a lot of them no outlet.
Oh, right.
So you just keep making turns till you come to a street you recognize. But it's fun because you don't wander around in neighborhoods like that very often. So it's cool.
Yeah. And the neighbors are, I think the residents are sort of used to it. They just kind of look, say, oh, there's another lost person.
I'm sure I look like a tourist.
Yeah. They don't know where they're going. And I am one of those I kind of have a direction in my mind. I say if I know the station is in that direction,
mm-hmm.
I get myself lost. I know where east and west is. I still kind of confuse myself on north and south. But I'll just say, well, if I keep going in that direction, I will eventually find a road that will get me
and
there.
And here I am.
Yeah, here. And without panicking. So anyway, great to have you here in studio. I know we're going to talk about quite a few things, including your trip, your recent trip to India.
Yes, India and Nepal.
Yeah, which very breathtaking photos and just so fun to follow you on your travels. So
thank
which
you.
We do, and I post them on my page. And at one of these days, we're all going to go traveling with Lee. Yeah,
there yeah. we go.
I don't know if you want that many people with you, but maybe we should do it anyway.
Sure.
All right. In the boardroom, working on something else, which is not this show, but he's laughing at Sean Flanagan. So don't worry, folks. Sean is here. He just also does some work for another radio station, and something's going on over there. So thankfully, it's not going on here. So we are good to go. All right. Yesterday on KESQ Channel 3, I wasn't there. I'll be back next Saturday with a look at the Valley of Fire outside of Las Vegas. Have you been there?
No.
Oh, you have
to go.
Sounds
intriguing.
It is beautiful. It it's about 40 minutes total north of Vegas. And there's a big sign. It's a national park, and mm-hmm. it just is,
Well, it's probably free today. I read where Joshua Tree, fortunately or unfortunately, bring your own toilet paper and trash bags, and you can get in free today.
Yosemite National Park, free. I mean, all the national parks are free right now.
So crazy.
Not everything is working in the park, but there's nobody at the gates to stop you. In fact, over at the marketplace at Yosemite, one of the clerks there said it's basically free to get in and park, and people are coming and going as they please. But just remember that there are not your normal rangers and staff there, so you do have to be a little careful now at all these national parks.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would stay overnight, but it's a great opportunity to pack up everybody and head in.
If you've never been, go and check it out. And that is happening out there. Alcatraz, same way, really. The national parks
kind of nice. They don't shutter them, and close access to it, because obviously that's an option. But
they probably after they go on, they shut down the government, then they have no one back to shut them down. So no one to go back and shut them down. So they just
good news, bad news.
Yeah. So again, now it's time. Take advantage of it. It might be good to take a just, you know, a little Christmas ride with the family. Say, surprise them and say, we're going out there. Talking about Christmas travel, do you know that over 6,200 flight delays have happened with this weather?
No. Where's the bad weather?
Yeah. Back east. Where have you been? Have you not seen the news lately?
No, I'm not reading that news.
You're not the news?
To take me to Texas isn't coming from east.
Well, I hope so, too, because the delays, and they have another storm going through there. They're having these gigantic, huge storms bringing snow and rain and sleet. And I originally was going to do my TV segment on KESQ about going to New York during the holiday season.
Right.
But I decided against it because the weather is not good right now
for
travelers.
Yeah, that's just mean.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mind. I'm freezing at 55 degrees. So I go to the wild lights at night at the Living Desert and I'm bundled up like I'm in Alaska or something.
Sure.
But yeah, we're not used to that. So if you are flying, which you said you are going to be flying out of town.
Early in the morning, yes, to Austin, Texas. Yes,
yeah. Well, Texas was hit by some of the storms as well. So just check before.
Yeah, it's really not even where you're going, but where the plane that's taking you is coming from.
Yeah.
A lot of times. So I'm not sure where the United flight is coming from, mm-hmm. but maybe it's since it's early in the morning, maybe it was parked there overnight and, you know, we're just going to be the first group to jump on it in the morning. So that's my hope.
And you're leaving out of Palm Springs,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is always so nice. Isn't that
great?
Nice?
Killer just, fare, like $200 and something because I'm flying on Christmas Eve to New Year's Eve. So I guess because a lot of people don't want to fly in that time, but I get in at 2 p.m. and
that's
so
great.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
It's been the difference in Christmas presents.
Well, they had said, though, this year that airfares have been down all the way around. I mean, you could find, if you looked a little bit, mm-hmm. you could find some really good airfares out there because the fuel prices and things have been, and the airlines have just been doing so well. All their earnings have been huge this last year with
international travel is just, they're giving it away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a shame not to be able to travel all the time. I would certainly do it.
Yeah. But just imagine being over in London where they had to shut down the airport because of the drones. That disruption, I'm so glad they caught those people because they just, it's not a joke when you're flying those drones around airports.
No, you can't. Even now, I have a friend that has a drone. We use it for work sometimes to take mm-hmm. overhead shots of the solar installations. And we were at a resort in Palm Springs where we just finished a commercial installation. And he started to lift the drone up. And we have a license and everything. But because we were within 5-mile radius of the airport, another warning comes on. And you have to actually enter your credit card, et cetera, because if you violate the airspace, I guess there's a big fine or something. And boom, you know, you're on the hook for it. So yes, they're taking precautions about even those kinds of things within the proximity, you know, and that's happening here as well.
Yeah, and which is a good thing because in fact, we were out at the Salton Sea doing some filming there at Sunnybona Wildlife Refuge. And Steve was up there and about, and he said, it's just now we were talking about drone usage. And he said, every time something like this happens, like it did in London, and they were showing the drone that actually hit the front of in the U.S. here, a jet. It crushed the nose.
You
didn't even sound. Yeah. When he was coming in, of course, near the airport, dropping down, and it totally collapsed the nose, which is really soft, of a jet.
Wow.
And they said that every time something like this happens, they're going to make it harder and harder for the...
No, they're ruining it for everybody.
Yeah, for everyone. So anyway, if you have a drone and you think it's funny now to be around the airports, it's not funny. So, all right. On that note, we are going to step aside for a minute. When we come back, before we talk about Lee's India Adventures, I want to talk a little bit about just what's going on in the world of travel. And of course, Lee can always chime in because how many trips did you go on this year?
Just two main ones, Egypt and India.
Two big ones, though. Mm-hmm. Two big ones. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, you're listening to Traveling with Françoise right here on Money Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in studio today is Lee Goodsell. We'll talk about her travels to India and so much more. This segment is brought to you in part by Cabot's Pueblo Museum. You can go to their website, cabotsmuseum.org. They are in Desert Hot Springs. It is such a fascinating place to go to. I'm always amazed when people say, I've never been. I didn't even know it was up there. And you've been to Cabot several times.
Oh, sure. And my good friend Dean runs the gift shop there, and he's a great buyer. And he has a lot of wonderful things that are up there. There's a lot of people that do gift shopping in their gift shop because it's not just magnets and postcards from about Cabot's. It's a lot of Native American jewelry and things like that. And in fact, he carries my earrings up there.
Oh, he does? Okay. Which
yes.
are what was
my
the name?
Chandeliers.
Chandeliers. Yes. And they have Kachina dolls and all sorts of things.
Yes.
They're
yeah.
beautiful.
He really
items.
Searches out good vendors and does a nice job with it and merchandises it really well as well.
And frankly, those are the gift shops that I love. I always like to look in the gift shops to take home a little, you know, something of sentimental value and gifts as well, but not the usual
stuff
that you
see. Yeah, Palm Springs Art Museum, they do a wonderful job of merchandise. They have a great gift shop also, really unusual things.
So if you've never been to Cabot's Museum, I always give some tickets away. And I think we have some on the website right now, a contest for those. So go to travelingwithfrancoise.com and look at the contest page, which changes every week. So I know we just gave out a few at the beginning of the week prizes, so there'll be some more on there. Let's talk a little bit about Los Angeles. World Airports has announced that Ethiopian Airlines, the largest aviation group in Africa, will launch a direct flight from Los Angeles International Airport. They say the inaugural flight is scheduled for December 17th, so it's already started, and the route makes LAX the only U.S. West Coast airport with nonstop service to Africa.
Lovely. So, yeah, I may be headed to Uganda next year, so that's good to know.
There you go. All right, and if you're looking for a real, true high seas adventure, well, I don't know. This is Carnival Cruise Line's largest ship, the Mardi Gras, will feature the Bolt, an electric roller coaster with nearly 800 feet of twists, turns, and drops when the ship debuts in 2020. I know we're all laughing in here. I don't know. Riders on this two-person sled will reach speeds of nearly 40 miles per hour on a track set 187
I'm not sure that's what I want to do on a cruise.
Above the ocean with hairpin turns and so much around the ship's funnel. Would you do it, Sean?
I mean, maybe.
Not in a stormy sea, man.
Into the water.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. Yeah, if it's the boat or the ship's rocking, because the higher up you are, the more the ship's rock. So I up there, can you imagine that sensation with going, dropping?
Rogue wave. No, thank you.
I don't know. What is it? 800 feet of twists and turns.
Yikes.
Wow, 40 miles. I would probably be sick, I imagine, on that one. I don't, with the motion, can you the water? The motion of the water is going on. You're on one side. You're zipping around the funnel of the ship on another.
They're working hard to outdo each other.
They are.
Some amazing stuff happening on cruise ships.
It is craziness. In fact, here's a list of some of the things that are happening on cruise ships. One of the Disney ships, they have a aqua coaster that is 765 feet long that loops 12 feet over the ship and about 150 feet above the ocean and down. I don't know. That's crazy. There's an IMAX theater on a Carnival Cruise Line.
There we go.
Yeah, the IMAX theater. On the Royal Caribbean's Quantum of the Seas, what do they have? They have the Star Crane Pod, which is a 15-minute ride more than 300 feet above sea level with 360 degrees.
Oh, goodness. Just give me some virtual reality and a safe seat.
Yeah. I want to, I love the sea days, and I think it's just hanging out doing nothing. Ocean Sea Loop's Free Fall Water Slide is on a Norwegian cruise line. That's a 276-foot-long, 35 feet tall, suspended 159 feet above the waterline, and chandelier 11 feet off of the ship with speeds up to 35 miles per hour.
Again.
Yeah. The average ride time of 10 seconds. What? Huh?
That's a lot of distance in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh. And then there's a racetrack on board Norwegian Cruise Line's Bliss and Joy, a 984-foot-long track with 9 hairpin turns, 10 carts per race. We're talking a little golf cart or go-karts. Speed up to 30 miles per hour. It is 8-minute duration for 8 laps. I don't think
I don't need to go
to
on a cruise ship for that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
How about the noise that would
go
make?
Go to Vegas, do that stuff.
Right. Of course, then you have Ripcord by iFly Skydiving Simulator on board Royal
Caribbean.
Okay,
now that sounds fun.
Yeah. That you are in a 23-foot-tall glass flight chamber. Wind tunnel speeds can top more than 100
Those
miles per
hour.
Those
are super fun. Have you done that before?
I have not done that, no.
There's a great one in Vegas.
Okay. That, no, I haven't done.
Yeah, indoor skydiving. That's very cool.
That might be my way to skydive, because I would like to do it once, but I'm not big on jumping out. You did it once, didn't you?
I did. And if you'd seen the plane I jumped out of, you would have jumped too.
Yeah, maybe that's
like, why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane? It was not a perfectly good plane.
It's that first step that I can't even imagine how you feel, Lee, when you
yeah, standing on the edge.
Did they push you out the door,
no,
or did you actually just step up?
No, I jumped, but yeah, you pause for a moment for sure, because you're holding onto the sides and your one foot is out on the strut, and you know, you could go either way, you could go in or out, and yeah. And no, it's a leap of faith to, you know, lean forward, but
and
it
you
was
were tandem
fabulous.
You had the instructor,
sure, yes.
Yeah, tandem, you didn't just well, knowingly I figured you might just jump out.
No,
and pull
you
the
have
cord
to do a lot of instruction to jump by yourself, but
jump.
No, it was great.
Did you have any moments of saying to yourself, what am I doing? Did you
well
have
it was
that?
It was in December, and so I can remember my biggest sensory thought being, my nose is so cold, which is crazy because, you know, you're plummeting to Earth and
yeah.
I'm thinking my nose is cold. Really cold.
Yeah.
But then once the parachute deploys, you know, then it's more like being in a hot air balloon or something. You know, it's just this peaceful flight, you know, down to Earth.
And how about the landing? Did that get you a little nervous before you landed? Or I'm sure they told you exactly what they wanted you to do.
Yeah, I mean, he stopped it so much that we just kind of, you know, hit the ground and took a few steps, and it was really smooth. I mean, I don't know if it was just a good instructor or because the weight ratio between us was good. You know, if it's a big guy that's jumping and his you know, tandem guy is small, the instructor, you know, it might be a different physics, you know, with tumbling when you come out and things like that. But mine was really, really smooth. And then I stopped doing any kind of like scary stuff for a while my daughter was young.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the prudent thing to do. But yeah, I'd do it again.
You would do it again?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Well,
maybe for a big birthday.
Yeah. That's
got a big birthday coming up in a couple years. So maybe for that.
George W. Bush did it 90.
Yeah.
I don't remember the age, but it was something up there.
It was up there.
It was
and
up there.
You get them all, wow, and everybody's saying, good for you. I mean, he wanted to do it, so he did it. All right, so here's a few more things, and then we will move along to some other stuff. The ultimate to Abbas slide on Royal Caribbean's Harmony of the Seas is a 10-story descent, 150 feet above sea level, 27-degree incline, 13.14 seconds is the average ride time. Whew, boy, these are fast.
They are fast. I hope you don't have to stand in a long line for that.
Wow. And then, of course, zip line. Now, I do zip line up there. There is a zip line on MSC Cruises on three of their ships. It is 345 feet long, 50 feet high. At the tallest point, speeds of 12 to 18 miles per hour, depending on the rider weight and pulley settings. Now, I would do a zip line across the ship.
Would you?
There. Yeah, I would.
I mean, I know there's doctors on board, but...
What? Well, you're on the cable, and it's not going to dip down any farther. So, no, I would do that. Yeah, I would do that. I like the zip line. The zip lining is fun.
No, zip lining is fun. I've done that in Costa Rica, actually. It's super cool. But also part of the allure is not just the zip lining itself, but what are you zip lining through and over and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
There's that zip line in Vegas at downtown.
Yeah,
at
Old Downtown.
I haven't done it. I've thought about it. But I don't know. I just kind of, I don't know. But I did. You know, a fun place to zip line that's close, Big Bear.
Do they have one up there now?
A fun zip line up there where you can go from, I don't know, I forgot how many posts there were that you can go to. And it really is a lot of fun.
I think Catalina has a good one, too.
It's Catalina, and you're through the forest.
Yes.
It's a different
feel. See, that makes
a
difference.
Yeah, you're through the forest, and you can look down, and it really is a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I would do zip lining again. All right, so those are how adventurous we are kind of going to be when we come across these things. Lots of stuff out there. Cruising is not like it used to be. I say this all the time, where the image of it where all you thought about was people eating and sitting around and eating again. That is so far from what cruising is about now. It is just...
Well, it's still about that for some people.
Well, yes, it is, but it's not... That's not all there is to do.
Sure,
yeah. Yes. I mean, there is everything from, of course they have the gambling and the shows and all of that, but they have so much more with the fitness centers and just, it's just a floating city.
I've always had a great time on every cruise. My mother is a big cruise fan, and so she often gets a deal where the third person is free. So herself, my stepfather, and then, you know, I stay in their cabin for free. And so I mean, just get myself there, you know, my trip's kind of covered. And we've had some wonderful trips on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. She likes the ones where you get off at a different place every day. So there's not a lot of at sea days. You know, yeah. She's like, oh, we're going to take an 11-day cruise. We're going to go to 10 countries.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Like, okay, Mom, great.
I like some sea days.
She's a value shopper. You know, yeah. She's like, I'm going to get a lot of countries in for my money.
For your money. Well, I like a little bit of both. I really enjoy the sea days, just hanging around on the ships. And in fact, last week we did something. We talked about cruise ships. You probably don't know this, that their libraries are dwindling on cruise ships because people keep stealing the books, and it's costing the cruise lines too much money to replace them.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought maybe everybody had their Kindles and different things, and they weren't utilizing it.
No, they're talking several million
dollars
a year.
Oh, because you start a book, and then you want to take it with you to
finish. They take it with them, and they say the cost of them is in the millions now to replace all these books on board these cruise ships.
I have a hard time believing that, though, because, you know, with the cost that you can get good used books, you know, maybe they're buying new up-to-date bestsellers or something, yeah. But it depends what they're stocking it with.
All right. Well,
I could hook them up with Angel View and save them a lot of money. And and they have beautiful hardbound great books there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And current ones, you know, people finish them and then they just donate them.
That's it. Yeah. I like book. I mean, I'm still a book person. I enjoy reading a book at night. So, all right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about Lee's recent trip to India. We're going to talk about what you might think of India and what she saw in India and how India is becoming a very popular travel destination. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. I am Françoise Rhodes, your host. Thanks so much for joining us today. So with us in studio is Lee Goodsell, and she is here to talk about, amongst others, we're talking about travel the first half hour of the show. And now we're going to talk about your recent trip to India.
Yes.
And I was fascinated by this because on more and more of the travel and leisure places to travel, India is popping up, different parts of India. But yet there's this image that kind of when you first say India, a lot of them go, yeah, not so sure.
Right.
And yeah, they're nervous about all sorts of things, poverty and just, I mean, I could go on, but I don't really want to talk negative about India because on the flip side, it is getting rave reviews by so many tour companies and tour experts, travel experts that.
Yeah, as it should, I think.
So,
and we had heard those as well. My friend Lori and I, who I went with, we had heard those things as well. You know, isn't it going to bother you, all the poverty, da, da, da. But there wasn't really that much evidence of it. You know, we weren't swarmed by little kids begging or, you know, any of the kind of stereotypical imagery that you have. We visited three cities in India. We flew into Delhi. Delhi's the primary city, and then there's Old Delhi and New Delhi. A lot of people call the whole thing New Delhi, but that's actually just an area of Delhi. So flew into Delhi and looked at the things there, and then drove to Agra, which is where the Taj Mahal is, and then Jaipur, which is known as the Pink City, and each of them have their own attractions. So that's known as the Golden Triangle for a lot of people. So that's at the top part of India. And that's how we were able to go to Nepal, which it borders with, you know, at that top northern border up there.
Now, were you on a tour?
We were on a tour.
Oh, you were on a tour. Okay. So how far in advance did you plan your tour?
6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. Yeah, you were such a spur of the moment. You have the luxury of doing that, which is great because you are very savvy when it comes to planning your trips. And you usually tend to, I've noticed, and I could be wrong there, you tend to know someone or go with someone that's either been there before or has done their research on it. It seems that
this was not that.
Yeah, okay.
and normally, Lori is very fastidious about that, but neither of us really had the time in the short time that we had because we were more concerned, you know, you have to apply for a visa for India, which actually turned out to be very easy to get an e-visa. You know, we both got them. She paid a little bit more. She got hers within about 48 hours. I got mine within about 5 days. I had still vaccines that were good from having traveled to Egypt, but she had to get a few.
Okay.
As advised by a travel doctor that we go to in Rancho Mirage, I just needed a hepatitis A booster. And then we both needed to get, on his advice, a flu shot.
Okay.
So we did that.
So I want to, and I don't, if I interrupt, I apologize,
That's okay.
But these things pop into my head. When you find out that you need the shots. Does anyone, have you ever been checked or have to show paperwork that you've had any shots? Or is it just our
protection? No, I think it's more of a recommendation. It's not mandated.
Okay.
But I do have a yellow card that I carry with me that shows which shots I have had in case, you know, on the way back, they do have an area that you walk through that's like quarantine area. Mm-hmm. So I think you're on camera. So if anybody was obviously very ill looking, I guess, you know, they could theoretically at that point stop you and keep you from coming further, you know, on your return.
Okay.
So I keep it with me just as a precaution. And then he also prescribes a Z-Pak in case of, you know, severe intestinal distress, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then malaria pills, which the possibility of that is fairly remote, but you start taking them the day before you arrive, and then you take one pill a day with the meal, and then you finish them when you get back for like 7 days or something like that. So that's just very much a precautionary thing.
Right.
And we put, you know, bug spray on and everything, but we only ever saw mosquitoes one time, and that was when we went really early to be able to see the Taj Mahal at sunrise. And there was a few little mosquitoes looking about. But, you know, and you just do some common sense things, like you don't pet dogs that because they might be rabid. And, you know, I did feed a monkey, but I didn't pet it. So, you know, I handed my Kind bar to the monkey and tried to grab in my backpack for more. So that was kind of a fun adventure at one of the temples. But
Urban monkeys roaming.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they're just roaming all over the place.
Yeah, the monkeys, the cows, a couple pigs we saw, some goats.
Were the monkeys aggressive in any way?
No, they're around humans all the time. I mean, they really are urban monkeys. So it was so funny because you'd just be walking down a sidewalk and then the monkeys just walking the other way. You know,
really?
And just right by you.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the, you know, or they're lined up on a wall as you're walking to, you know, a monument or a temple or something. Or shrine, and you know they're in the trees, or they're on the branches, or you could see one of they were a lot by the palace area, which is now presidential palace. But so they're just part of the landscape in certain areas of the city.
Yeah,
you know, so it's very much, you know, in the urban environment, and these monkeys have just adapted.
Do they tell you not to feed them? Because I would think tourists right away, the first thing they'd want to do is try to feed the monkeys. Yeah.
We had one guide. We saw some monkeys when we were kind of in this market area, and we went and bought bananas from a vendor. And then when we went back, the monkeys had gone. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's unprecedented. I think people feel affectionate towards the animals, and certainly towards the cows because they're sacred.
Yeah.
But towards the other animals as well. I mean, you know, to some degree.
Yeah.
And so I saw one man. There was a baby cow wandering around, and he went and got water from his little stand where he was at, and had it in his hand, and he was, you know, holding it up to the cow's mouth so the little calf could have some water. And, you know, and then he kind of shooed it on its way, and you know, it wandered off.
Wow.
But it's fascinating. You know, I love going to a country that's so different.
Right.
So exotic.
And that's what traveling in so many ways is about. Not for everybody, but more and more people want that adventure. And that really is an adventure when you go and
terrific.
See things like that.
It was terrific. You know, we had one kid come up to us when we were at a food stand and you know, ask for money. And then there was another one that you could tell was pretty slick little entrepreneur because, you know, he had this really stylish haircut and the color, his hair was colored on top and he had Nikes on and he was pretty well dressed. He's like, oh, can I have some money for milk for my baby brother? I'm like, you're not hurting here.
Yeah.
You know, I like we're having a conversation with him. And later the tour guide was talking about that, you know, that's not infrequent. And he takes you into the store and you end up buying a bigger thing of milk, but then he turns around and he goes and sells it, you know, for money. So, okay, entrepreneurial, you know, I got no problem with that.
Uh-huh.
You know, if people want to give in that way, that's fine. So I had taken a bunch of dollar store sunglasses with me, so he got a pair of sunglasses.
Oh, there, that's a good move. What was it about India that surprised you the most, that what you weren't expecting to see?
I loved we went to a Sikh temple one time and you had to put on kind of like almost a do-rag in this really pretty saffron orange color, cover your head. And We walked over to this big area where they actually feed 35,000 people a day. And so, you know, you come into this kind of foyer entrance area, and then you walk into, I guess you could compare it to like a community room or gymnasium type space. And there was all these people sitting in there cross-legged with the trays in front of them that they had gotten. And then people were walking up and down the aisle offering more naan and, you know, which is the bread kind of thing. And we were able to walk back into the kitchen area, and we're barefoot. You have to take your shoes off. So we're barefoot, which, okay, barefoot in the kitchen area. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's all these people around these giant griddles, I guess, for lack of a better term, you know, forming and making the bread. And then it's, you know, frying on this griddle, and then it's being flipped and everything. And you could tell just by how they're dressed that they're all religions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's typical people from India, Hindu, Sikh, you know, Muslim and everything. And you can see them all sitting together in this area, you know, preparing the food. And they're all volunteers preparing this food for all the people there. And it's a huge, you know, production line and giant pots on giant flame, you know, of rice and the other components of the meal. And that operation is, you know, big time and, you know, funded by donations and the goodness of their heart, the Sikhs that are there. And so that really impressed me, you know, just the harmony with which they live together. Because I think Hindus are about 70% of the people there. Hindu is not necessarily a religion. It's more of a culture.
Mm-hmm.
But we would equate it to a religion, I would say. But, you know, that and just the spirituality every day that people integrate into their lives with the little shrines and the offerings. And, you know, you'd be in a little village and there's like the neighborhood shrine, you know, that people are stopping at. And they, depending on what it is, they ring a bell to alert them that they're there. The whoever they're making the offering to. And then, you know, there's flower sellers and different things that you're offering. And then, you know, you go on with your you know, day.
How did you actually stumble across that where they were being fed? Because that obviously wouldn't be a tourist attraction. So
which one?
And that were all the volunteers were feeding all the people. I mean, that
our guide, you know, the Sikh temple is very beautiful, but he thought we would want to see kind of behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And so we were grateful for that because that was very impactful for us. You know, like, what are they doing here? Oh, can we go see it? And like, sure, okay. And we just walked in. Nobody said, oh, you can't come back here.
Yeah.
You know, for all they knew, we were going to sit down and volunteer.
Yeah.
You know, and he just explained to them they wanted to see and, you know, all like that. But
those can be the most...
It was moving.
Definitely.
It was very, to just see it in action.
All right, we're going to have to take a break on that note. We're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about language and monies and all sorts of things on how you traveled around. How did you get around India and some more right here on Traveling with Francois. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I'm Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in studio back from India is Lee Goodsell. It's going to be, I always say when I see all their Facebook posts, it's Traveling with Lee now. I have all these people. In fact, I have some other people that just got back from Africa, and he made one of his pages, Traveling with Herb. I have all these traveling with people.
Fun.
So it is a lot of funny. I did have those two vouchers for the Palm Springs International Film Festival. I won't put you on the air to talk, but if you want those, give Sean a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. And it is vouchers for two movies at the Palm Springs International Film Festivals, and I will mail those out to you. So give them a call, and you and Sean can have a chat in there. All right, Lee, let's talk. I want to talk about a couple things.
Sure.
I want to give a shout out to your tour guide.
Oh, Ravi.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was terrific. He was our first introduction to Delhi, which is where we started. We spent a couple of days with him and just very knowledgeable and personable, you know, wasn't as though we're traveling with, you know, a museum guide that's just droning and sharing all the facts with you. You know, we really had a good time with him and then hung out with him voluntarily on the last night that we were in Delhi. He pointed us to this great market because, you know, we had this last minute, we need to do more shopping. And and so then we met up and took him to dinner just as a thank you.
And how did Robbie, and I think this would be very important, when you go to a place such as India, which the cultures are completely different, did he give you some tips on, let's say, tipping and language and monies? Did he help you out with that before so you weren't completely lost?
Yeah, there's some places that include a little service tip of maybe 10%. So it's not the necessarily the 20% like we have here. So there was that. And he would help us understand if we should bargain more or not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're buying earrings for 50 cents or a dollar, you know, I don't want to, I don't need to bargain that. And, you know, I know that maybe it's expected, but I'm happy to just pay the quote retail price and, and maybe, you know, do a little back and forth, but not a lot. Everything was so inexpensive. You know, beautiful cashmere scarves and the earrings. I brought back maybe 30 pairs of earrings and gifted some, but kept a lot. And pants, you know, for $4 and just tops. And, you know, I love the way that people dress over there. It's so colorful and so comfortable. And so for the first week I was back, I was wearing all my outfits from India, you know, so...
It was definitely an experience, and I hear it, I see it in your face, too, on how much you enjoyed this trip. So language, what was English? That was
English
primary?
Pretty common, yes. I mean, obviously, the tour guides that we had are well-versed in English, but tour guides are equally versed in German and Spanish and Russian, depending on, you know, which countries they can serve as tourists from. But yeah, English is fairly common in the markets. People know English pretty well. You can communicate.
So you weren't nervous about that. And we had a winner, Sean. Who was that?
Yes, you did. You had Barbara in Palm Springs.
All right. Well, congratulations, Barbara. You won those two tickets. I'll mail those out tomorrow. Thank you so much. Sorry that we didn't get you on the air this time. But Lee, every time you come on, Lee, it goes by so fast that we never cover everything we even think we're going
to
cover.
The exchange rate in India is pretty good. It's 72 rupees to the dollar. Mm-hmm. So just when we got used to doing that division, then we went to Nepal, and it's 120 Nepalese rupees to the dollar. So.
And how did you travel around? Did you cab? How was your transportation?
We had a driver.
Transportation?
We had a car and a driver that, you know, met us different places and took us around. But we also then made some side trips with tuk-tuks, which are the three-wheeled electric rickshaw, I guess is the best way to describe it. But they don't like to be called rickshaw. They like to be called tuk-tuk. So that's what we referred to them as. And so that was, you know, that's how the locals get around a lot is just get on a little tuk-tuk and, you know, go a short distance or something. And the you don't want to rent a car in Delhi because the driving is pretty crazy. You know, it's, you know, in a three, what we would call a three-lane highway, there's maybe five across. And they're honking not as a punitive thing, but to let you know they're coming up behind you. So don't slide over because I'm going to squeeze through here. You know, so once you kind of get used to that's what's happening, you know, everybody's kind of jockeying for position. And there's a lot of motorcycles and, you know, it seems hectic, but they got to figure it out. And, you know, we were fine. Just, you know, I would keep my hands inside the vehicle. You know, I wouldn't be sticking my hands out to take pictures or anything.
So you did no driving. You let everybody else do all the driving for you.
Well, it's on the other side of the road, too, because of the British influence. So that's another tricky part.
What about we see pictures of India, which is it's very crowded.
Yes.
Very hustle bustle. Something constantly going on. Did you ever feel uncomfortable in this hustle bustle? Did you? Because I know you went to major tourist attractions, but then you also went off the beaten path as well.
Right.
So how did you feel as far as just a tourist?
I never felt threatened or, you know, we didn't go on Indian trains or buses, and those are super crowded. So we weren't able to go on that. So, you know, we were never in that kind of situation. And, you know, the guides would say, you know, there can be pickpocketing here. So, you know, keep your phone with you and your backpack protected or whatever. But that's no different than Paris or Cairo or any other or here, you know. And as far as like smells and stuff, I don't remember feeling like there was an offensive smell anywhere I went. New Orleans smells worse downtown, frankly, you know, than the parts of India we were in. And some of the things that we saw, you know, the temples and the monuments and everything from the 15th, 16th century and the workmanship. And, the color there, unlike in Egypt where it's done with maybe plant pigments, there, because they have so many natural, beautiful gemstones, especially in the mm-hmm. in the mountains by Jaipur, the paint is not really a paint. It's stone dust that they use to color things.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so permanent, and you see things that are still so vibrant. Maybe just the stone inlay for mm-hmm. one, like at the Taj Mahal, but then also, you know, coloring done with that.
So the Taj Mahal, everyone has heard about the Taj Mahal. We hear about it in school. You hear about it everywhere mm-hmm. travel. And I will liken this to when I was in actually Yellowstone, I went to Old Faithful, which was okay, but it was just, you know, Old Faithful.
Right.
It was awesome, but not. It was there was more hype about it than what it really was.
Right.
I thought there were so many more amazing things in Yellowstone. So
right.
the Taj Mahal, did it live up to all your expectations?
Yeah, it made me cry.
It made you cry.
When I was – look, I'm getting teary now.
Yeah.
When I was leaving, I turned around and, like, I did one more video of it, mm-hmm. you know, and look, I can't even talk about it. It was just so amazing. And to think about the love and care that went into it, and then the king that created it, you know, got imprisoned by his son, I believe, and he was imprisoned for the last 8 years of his life and could only see it through a small window. You know, it's just, it's such a, I guess, romantic tale surrounding it as well. It's not just a cold building,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was just lovely.
Were you able to go inside?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. And so you would recommend that. If you had to, someone asked you to recommend a couple places to go in India, I would think the Taj Mahal would be one.
Yeah, I kind of built the trip around that. You know, I knew I wanted to go to the Taj Mahal, and then everything else was just kind of bonus and amazing. And so we hadn't even initially planned the Nepal part of it, but we were able to go to Kathmandu and then drive up into some mountains to this lodge with a view of the Himalayas. And so, you know, it'd be a shame to go to Nepal and not say you'd seen at least the peak of Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all oriented towards the Himalayas. And so sunrise over the Himalayas, you know, that was another pretty magical moment.
And you did this in how many days?
8 days.
8 days. Okay. So that was a good amount of time, though.
That was a good amount of time.
Yeah. Could you have stayed longer, you felt, easily? Or were you
almost
ready?
There was a lot
more
to see. But, I mean, we had been on a pretty fast pace. There was no really down days except, you know, I guess kind of a down day when you're traveling from one country to another because mm-hmm. you're not out walking around. But traveling in and of itself is something. The food was great. We weren't sick at all. People talk about Delhi belly, but
yeah.
we had wonderful meals. We had some good advice, you know, don't eat fresh fruits and vegetables from stands and stuff or anywhere because it's just been rinsed in water
uh-huh.
and eat hot food and go places that are crowded because, you know, the locals aren't going places that they're going to get sick either.
Yeah.
So if you just follow their lead.
Right.
You know, but I had wonderful butter chicken and different things all over.
I was going to say, what was your favorite dish?
Butter chicken.
So okay. Have you made it at home?
I brought the spices and everything back to make it. Yes.
Yeah.
You could buy this little kit for it. And also the masala chai tea.
Uh-huh.
So good. I'm a chai tea fan anyway. And so, you know, to go there and have it. Mm.
Would you go back?
Oh, yeah. I'm already planning to go back.
Oh, you are planning to go back.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I want to see the beautiful Udaipur, where our guide is from, that city of lakes. Where the big wedding just was with mm-hmm. the billionaire and the palace and Beyonce and everything, and Goa on the seaside. And so there's just so many parts of India. I want to see Mumbai, which was formerly Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much history and stuff there.
All right. Where's your next trip?
I think I'm going to China in the spring. Maybe a trip to Uganda that's kind of a combination with Rotary and Renova to help put some solar panels on a hospital and a teaching college there. And then I'm looking at Cambodia to Angkor Wat for Christmas next year.
All right. Well, Lee, thanks so much for joining
us. Welcome.
Everybody, that's it for today. Sean and I, we will be off next Sunday. We will be back the following. We want to wish everybody happiest of holidays out there. Have a great time. Be safe out there. Thanks to everyone today. Craig in the first hour, congratulations to our winner. And check the website for everything coming up, all our sponsors, news, and so much more right there on Traveling with Francoise. Until then, remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.